Rugged individualists.
And wherever they peed, an oak tree would grow.
Oh, absolutely. Every time a coyote howls, it reminds me of freedom. Of course, we need to kill the coyotes. Jesus.
It's really getting to be a bit of a joke to watch from over here, guys.
Oh, I know. Yeah, I got an email earlier from our buddy Ibid in the chat room. And he just says, "Hi, Bob. If your petrol goes to $5 a gallon, people ain't driving anymore. If your petrol price goes to something like what we pay for it, Georgie's head will explode. Price of fuel here," and of course he's in Oz too. "Price of fuel here, $1.52 a liter, which equals $5.75 a gallon Australian dollars, which equals $5.42 a gallon U.S. dollars. Mate, what the happened to your dollar value?" Well, see, George got hold of the credit card, and he went running to the great big Chinese Walmart, and he ran over our limit, and he spent it all on guns and bullets and stuff.
Some 20 miles to the grocery store, 40 miles round trip here, and $5 a gallon gas, I'm going to start shooting squirrels in the woods to eat.
And teach, and Ellen, teach poor doggy to fetch.
Yeah, doggy, get me that squirrel.
Well, by the way, an email rolling in to you and Wayne debating age, simply put, it ain't the model, it's the mileage.
You gotta love the listener.
And I suppose that is very, very, very true.
I'm just watching, you know, the Australian dollar make its consistent climb against the U.S. dollar, and it's with the whole change in the petrol currency going on, I think the U.S. dollar is going to just continue to wither away and wither away and wither away. It's not looking good, considering that the value of the dollar has pretty much doubled from its low point when I moved here just, you know, less than 10 years ago. And most of this change has happened in the last three.
John, the fundies will tell you that that's because the Bible says that in the end times you can bring them a wheelbarrow full of money and it won't buy a loaf of bread. That this is biblical and it's just God's fulfillment. Nobody will point out it's the Republican incompetence that squandered it. It's always Bob.
Well, if it's the Republicans who made it happen, Peter, has it dawned on them yet that maybe it's the Republicans who are the Antichrist?
It sure as hell dawned to me.
Yeah, I know. Well, guys, we have done it to another hour, and we're off to a roaring good start, I think, for the week.
Yeah, I think so, too.
All fired up and ready to go, John?
Yep, all set and ready to go.
I will say for my part that you have chosen a Jim Dandy track of the day.
Yeah, I kind of figured I'd go there. Yeah, a little bit of King Crimson coming up. Some of that
ooh,
crazy stick action.
Cool. Well, guys, thank you very much for putting up with my rantings and my queries and stuff. I the minute I saw that photograph screen capture of Osama bin Laden from Hillary's latest ad, I knew that we kind of had our topic for the evening.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, I'd like to offer up some just little minor thing. Whether you're a person of faith or not, I'd just like to offer up a little prayer for our friend Bruce. And I wish Bruce could get through that and come back. I miss Bruce.
Yeah, I do.
And I would love to have him back.
We've all...
Bruce.
Yeah, we've both thought, John and I have talked about, we miss him.
Yeah, maybe not appropriate for me to say that on the air, but
no, it is. It's more than appropriate. Anything you want to bring to the table is appropriate for the horn section.
Yeah, miss him.
Absolutely. Well, I'll tell you what, guys, thanks again, and catch you all tomorrow night. Great show earlier, Peter. Thank you. It's up on the FTP now, by the way.
Thank you.
In the meantime, Here's the late, great Lowell George reminding you to...
This is a top to what we use on stage, but it's very, very special because if you can see, the numbers all go to 11. Look, right across the board, 11, 11,
and most
11,
of the
and then
amps go up to 10.
Exactly.
Does that mean it's louder? Is it any louder?
Well, it's one louder, isn't it? It's not 10. You see, most blokes are going to be playing at 10. You're on 10 here, all the way up, all the way up, all the way up. You're on 10 on your guitar. Where can you go from there? Where?
I don't know.
Nowhere, exactly. What we do is if we need that extra push over the cliff, you know what we do?
Put it up to 11.
11, exactly. One louder.
Why don't you just make 10 louder and make 10 be the top number and make that a little louder?
These go to 11.
Welcome to Conversation Radio's Lean, Mean, and Green Show, right here on the Horn. It's Boxed Up with John Fox, where we turn the conversation to conservation. Boxed Up is brought to you by B1 Louder Productions in Sydney, Australia, and CityNet, citynet.net. B1 Louder by ringing 877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 877-443-2366, or use your free minutes by dialing direct 304-658-5453. Yeah. Your host, the ranting, head-banging hippie, John Fox.
Hey, everybody, welcome aboard Foxed Up here for a Monday night or Tuesday morning or Tuesday afternoon, whatever it might be, wherever you are on this beautiful blue marble, such as it still is. John Fox coming to you from a, what shall we say, is a somewhat waterlogged Sydney. It's been kind of just gray and raining on and off for, at least a week now. And, where we live, the soil is clay. Some really dense clay, for that matter. And our driveway, I don't know, it just kind of makes very strange squishy noises when you walk across it. heading into winter in Australia and in a La Nina year. But I tell you, it's just been kind of a couple times a day, a really good shower, sometimes really consistent rain, and it's just been kind of nonstop. Hardly seen the sun for about a week, but hey, we can use the rain. We can always use more. What are we doing? Okay. Why don't we head straight into our track of the day? And don't know why I haven't gotten around to playing something from King Crimson before. But, last week I did the Lateralis track from Tool. And years ago, when Scott Barry and I were first becoming good mates and we talked music as we would talk a lot, he used to mention about the similarities between Tool and King Crimson. And I can definitely see that. And little did we realize at that time, as Tool was booking their tour for Lateralis, who was their opening act? King Crimson. Must have been a mad bill to have these two on. Now, the track that I'm going to play is a track called Elephant Talk. And if I'm not mistaken, this track was actually originally recorded before King Crimson was King Crimson. But this is Adrian Belew, Bill Bruford, Robert Fripp, and Tony Levin on this track. And Tony Levin plays a Chapman stick on this, which is a very unusual instrument. You would have heard on the old playout for this show, Music and Politics, that was Chapman stick on there, which one instrument basically giving you the sounds of a bass guitar and a comped, regular six-string rhythm/lead guitar kind of thing. And Tony Levin, basically is part of the reason for the instrument even existing. And the whole track revolves around that. You can hear the similarity for, I guess if you're going to talk about the Tool thing, the similarity when it comes to rhythmic structure, also kind of arrangement structure as well, dealing with complex times one on top of another. And also the idea of there's something similar in the riffing, even though the music style is completely different. So just a fantastic band, about some of the best players. And I mean, you go through the late 70s and 80s era, and the band was like a revolving door. There was just people in and out of the band faster than anyone could keep track. But this track is a live staple for them. It's been on most of their live records, and it's probably one of the best examples. If not the King Crimson cliche, this is a really great example of what this band has always been about. So without further ado, Elephant Talk from King Crimson. Roll it, Bob. Thank you. Bob was making comment about how you can hear the fact that Fripp was an influence on Andy Summers and the Police, and you can definitely hear some things that in just that track that popped up in synchronicity, rhythm-wise, for sure. And that Chapman rhythm stick, it's just that it's an amazing noise. Incredible stuff. And yeah, so that's that. You know, we were talking on the horn section about the sad state of this campaign and just stupidity, nasty tactics, and just how disappointing the whole process has been. I mean, that's my overall feeling watching all this stuff from over here is this is such a joke. Mark Maron was actually on Australian television last night, a show called Good News Week, which is a comedy news panel, current events program. And, you know, a joke was made about, you know, America not only being dumb religious fundamentalist rednecks. And, you know, I'm thinking, you know, Maron down here in Australia, probably the first break he's had from the U.S. media in months, if not years at this point. And to be reminded that more and more, you know, at one time, you know, jokes about the U.S. may have been out of some sort of misplaced jealousy of a concept of what America might have been at one time. But now, outside of the United States, the entire system of America seems to be a bit of a joke. unless we, you know, I mean, we've got a primary system that still is yet to, you know, finish its course. And, you know, things are tight, and we've talked about emotions being, you know, a bit, nerves and emotions being a tad frayed. Geez, I want the convention to come so we can get the decision of who the nominee is going to be and get to the work of getting a Democrat in office, whoever that may be, over this guy who, you know, McCain. I mean, I do think he's too old. I mean, before you get even into individual, individual policy stances, he's too old. Sorry, not into another Ronald Reagan again. Not into someone that you're wondering whether or not they are all there and have the ability to be presidential, or do his minders just make him appear that way? That's not what we need. We need better than that. And I think that's why I'm so disappointed watching from this far away. Is if there was ever an election for the Democrats to win, this was it. And we seem to have been able to bring our ability to lose elections all on our lonesome to a painful new height. It's just scary. And I just want it to be over. I'm so sick of it. But we're going to go to the phones real quick. Our good friend and news ninja Gene is on the line. How you going, Gene? Welcome to the program.
Hey, John. How's it going?
Not too bad, man. I just keep watching what's going on over there from here, and I just try not to do my skull bones that much damage anymore. I just want to ram my head through a wall.
I know what you mean. I really do. I have a question, and I'm sorry for the echo. And this might
All right.
sound a little weird, and if it does, just put it under the pneumonia meds. But I was thinking there was an article Friday night about declaring class war, about how the strong dollar policy and stuff that our government is following is basically cuts off the working class and leaves the higher income folks pretty much alone.
Right.
And so, well, here's what I was thinking. I'm just thinking this. And it's just a way of fighting against stagflation and stuff like that. But I was wondering if I went ahead and by some miracle got enough money to go ahead and can have some kind of savings in pounds or euros, would I go through my money that fast? Would it slow down going through my money that fast? I know I wouldn't get any more money, but you know the exchange rate is like a dollar's worth of, or a pound is worth $1.99 or something like that.
Right.
So
yeah.
I was just wondering if that would slow down spending my funds, because frankly, I'm going through my funds like a fire hose going through tissue paper. So.
Well, I'm not the one to be getting financial advice from, but.
Okay.
I would think any gains that you get by playing in a currency market, you probably would lose those gains in fees to make that money usable for you. You know,
oh,
going.
Crap.
You know what I mean. You know, I mean, if you have money to play with, you know, I could see other currencies, but.
I don't. I'm just thinking. How the heck? It's got to be, because I can write my congressman and say, can you do something about Ben Bernanke and Mr. Paulson's dumb policy? and, you know, might get around to it eventually if I'm lucky. But, you know, who knows? So, you know, well.
Yeah, they have.
Well, you know, I figured you travel, you've traveled some, and I haven't, so I just wondered, when you first got to Australia, did they bang you for, did you keep your U.S. bank account open in that way at that time?
Right. Well, the way that I came was, you know, it ended up being a little bit different, because I came via Germany.
Oh, okay.
And so I was dealing with actually German and Australian exchange rates.
Ah.
But, you know, who, you know, it's like at the moment, you know, I've just gone with a new hosting company, and the old hosting company that I was with, I was paying in Australian dollars.
Uh-huh.
And now I'm paying in U.S. dollars. And 2 years ago, I wouldn't have thought that that would have been a very grand idea from my angle, but this time it's looking pretty good, because at the moment my hosting costs are going to continue to go down every month as the Aussie dollar makes its slow climb. So, you know, I think it all depends on how you run your, you know, your life kind of thing. I mean, that's, you know, I couldn't even venture to throw anything out regarding, you know, investing in the currency market, because I also think the currency market is a fixed game in its own.
Oh,
you know, only those at the top level of it actually make any money. Anybody else is going to get done in fees from their local country.
Oh, crap. Well, I hadn't thought about the fees, but, well, at least this isn't as bad as the great peso debate. Linda, Bob can tell you about that one of these days. And, and kind of, that was really kind of all I really wanted to know, because it's like I'm looking through that, and I'm thinking through my mind now, how could I get around this? Because it's like, I wasn't going to invest in gold or, you know, stuff like that, because I just frankly don't have those kinds of funds. And besides, that's prohibited on how I get my income, which is, again, Social Security. So I don't have that kind of money to play with. But it, as far as I know, it doesn't say a doggone thing about, you know, being able to get different currencies and work that way. But, of course, that might be too big of a hassle. But, I tried. Like I say.
Oh, they got you coming. They got you coming or going, mate. You ain't going to get out of it that easy.
like I say, you can just put it down to the pneumonia meds and the tramadone, which I haven't taken yet, but I'm going to.
All right, Gene. Thanks very much, mate.
I'll catch you later. Thanks.
All right, buddy. Take care. Ah, host gets backed into corner. Hi, I'd like financial advice. it's wild times at the moment. I mean, it really is wild times at the moment. There are just numbers that came out now recently here in Australia that within a few months, 20% of people with mortgages will be officially in what they call mortgage stress. And it's growing all the time. And they're finding that this time people aren't able to get themselves out of the holes. And see, this is where I wonder if this time around in the global markets, if we have overextended ourselves so far this time that we're not going to recover from this without it being really painful. Really painful. Starting, I don't know if it's getting traction in the U.S., but it's getting traction here. This whole food shortages issue that we've been talking about on and off for the last couple of months has been starting to get some traction over here, you know. And when I saw the morning news, you know, getting on it, you know, I'm sitting there kind of going, what took you guys so long? I've been recovering this for months. But hey, better late than never. You know, hadn't anyone noticed that bloody a loaf of bread has doubled in price to just, you know, a year or so ago? How do you miss this stuff? But you know, it's finally starting to get a look in, at least. But I fear all this stuff is just happening way too bloody fast. Way too bloody fast. Now, where was I going? I have some other stuff here. Just bear with me a second. Got way too many tabs. Well, on this whole idea of food shortages. And this is from the New York Sun. Food rationing confronts breadbasket of the world. See, this is where, you know, we got mortgages and we got credit card stuff and all that. We're in a situation where that is going to be small time compared to the feeding problems that we're going to have across the world. And those being, you know, made worse by the changes in the climate, the fight over corn for biofuels, over food, various different factors, but we're setting up for like a real food shortage. And this is out of Mountain View, California. Many parts of America, long considered the breadbasket of the world, are now confronting a once unthinkable phenomenon, food rationing. Major retailers in New York and areas of New England and on the West Coast are limiting purchases of flour, rice, and cooking oil as demand outstrips supply. This is in the United States. There are also anecdotal reports that some consumers are hoarding grain stocks. At a Costco warehouse in Mountain View, California yesterday, shoppers grew frustrated and occasionally uttered expletives as they searched in vain for the large sacks of rice they usually buy. Where's the rice? An engineer from Palo Alto, California, said. You should be able to buy something like rice. This is ridiculous. The bustling store in the heart of Silicon Valley usually sells four or five varieties of rice to clientele largely of Asian immigrants. But only about half a packet of Indian-grown basmati rice was left in stock. A 20-pound bag was selling at $16. You can't eat this every day. It's too heavy. Blah, blah, blah. It's not the right kind of rice. Blah, blah, blah. So we're already seeing supply shortages even in the United States. They say here, due to the limited availability of rice, we are limiting rice purchases based on your prior purchasing history. Yeah. Your purchasing history. I find that kind of stuff kind of scary. But an employee at the Costco store in Queens said there were no restrictions on rice buying, but limits were being imposed on purchases of oil and flour. Internet postings attributed some of the shortage at retail stores when the price of flour from commercial suppliers doubled. The curbs and shortages are being tracked with concern, blah, blah, blah. It's sporadic. It's not every store, and it's becoming more commonplace. The editor of survivalblog.com, James Rawls, said, the number of reports I've been getting from readers who have seen signs posted with limits has increased almost exponentially, I'd say, in the last 3 to 5 weeks. 3 to 5 weeks? You know, I mean, is this stuff already really happening, and professional media just isn't reporting it? I mean, is it this, you know, is it not reporting because, you know, you didn't want to call the alarm? But you didn't tell anybody, so no one did anything about it? Continues on saying, spiking food prices have led to riots in recent weeks in Haiti, Indonesia, and several African nations. India recently banned export of all but the highest quality rice, and Vietnam blocked the signing of a new contract to sell foreign rice sales. I'm surprised the Bush administration hasn't slapped export controls on wheat, Mr. Rawls said. The Asian countries are here buying every kind of wheat. Mr. Rawls said it is hard to know how much of the shortages are due to lagging supply and how much is caused by consumers hedging against future price hikes or total lack of product. So are we going to start seeing individuals starting to hoard things like rice and wheat at home? And is that a good idea or is it a bad idea? I mean, from what I understand, you know, rice can be kept up to 2 years if it's, you know, properly, you know, contained, I believe, in foil. But are we going to be looking at a situation where people are going to start hoarding these things? And those that can afford to buy now and could afford to hoard are going to end up removing supplies to those who can't afford to hoard. This is extremely, extremely worrisome stuff. And, I mean, this isn't just one report. We've been seeing, you know, fairly consistent reporting coming out of the World Food Program and other organizations who, you know, deal with the poorest of the poor, and how some of these organizations are going to fall hugely short of what they need because one of increasing cost to transport, and now because of the international economic situation, increased demand. So, you know, this isn't just like a doubling situation. We're ending up with, you know, something that is, you know, going to begin expanding at an exponential rate. And we end up, and so if anyone can't understand why folks could be, you know, angry, frustrated about a joke of a debate like we've had, when we have so many hugely important issues just waiting to be talked about. But no, we waste our time talking about stuff that doesn't matter, about preachers and whether or not they love America as much as a particular candidate, or does Mr. Obama believe in the American flag? I mean, if I had been Barack Obama, I think I would have just burst out in hysterics. You know, I would have been, you know, like, you know, Charlie, Snuffleupagus, whatever your name is. Are you serious? Are you serious? You think that this is debate? Because it's not. You know, I watched a bit of Obama from the day after, or maybe straight after, you know, where he says, you know, we wasted, what, 45 minutes or an hour before talking about the war, before talking about the economy. And something that we got to start talking about is food supply. If we're getting into a situation where even all of our money doesn't make it possible to buy the things that we need to support life, our priorities are just completely just ass backwards and upside down. I just don't get it. And, you know, if you needed more reinforcement, and I think I reported on some of this last week, but at the Daily Green, showing how the jet stream has actually shifted in the United States. And this is all stuff that's going to change where and when and how well we can grow food. You know, having to re-educate America on what food actually is. I think we've forgotten what food is. It doesn't just come out of a factory. For, you know, all of time, food has been grown. Actual life, you know, actual food, fruits, vegetables, you know, even the meat, you know, that is still farmed. That is still grown. And this idea that, you know, large company just makes out of nothing all this food, when that's what, you know, when kids grow up thinking that blue food is normal, we got to be not surprised that the population in general cannot grasp onto the concept of what it actually means when wheat prices double in less than a year. I mean, I seriously begin to wonder about the American mind. And no surprise that it's so damaged, you know, with the crap that gets pounded at you day in, day out, day in, day out, you know. People trying very hard to convince you that George W. Bush is an eloquent speaker and Dick Cheney's an honest man. To function in a world that believes such things is a real challenge. I'm trying to think of this comment from an image. Gail will probably email it to me any second. But, you know, being well adjusted in such a sick world is not something to chase after. Because we're not hearing anyone talk about this stuff the way that it needs to be talked about. You know, all these things add up together. I mean, I look at these maps of the jet stream. Now, the jet stream has not only raised in altitude, so it probably has less effect, you know, lower altitudes. But it's also weakened. So the winds aren't as strong. So we're going to get less motion in the atmosphere. And this ties into the trade currents as well. It's a whole nother whole nother thing. But we trying to come up with a point for all this, and I'm not really sure if I can come up with one. Aside from the fact that I think that I'm getting to be more of the opinion that we're not going to get anywhere because the majority of the population has been so dumbed down and is so unaware of how things actually work. You know, that the Earth is more than 6,000 years old. That we have a planet whose climate is changing dramatically quickly due to things that we've done for now decades. I just don't know if there's enough in there to have this stuff all connect up and say, hey, wait, this is my responsibility. I have to be responsible for myself and everybody else. And no, we can't have companies like Monsanto owning patent rights to the building blocks of life. As it gets harder and harder to grow, And, I mean, what kind of world do you see when you have a world that has no food security? I mean, you have to think about it that simply. We are headed down a road where we could have very poor food security. And we're already seeing this in certain areas of the world, and we've seen conflict over it. But yet all we hear about is Iraq, Afghanistan, and not in any of the discussions that we should be having about those issues. But we throw a whole lot of money at this when it's not actually a security problem. Only one that we've manufactured. But we have real problems of people not being able to pay enough money to live in a decent home or any home at all. We're running into tent cities being built in major metropolitan areas of people who are working but can't afford their homes. We're running into situations where basic staples of certain oils and certain grains are starting to become scarce. Now, I don't care about some fear-mongering nonsense advertisement about, you know, who's going to be ready at 3 a.m. to deal with the phone call from Osama bin Laden's handlers, the CIA. I'm more interested in seeing an ad talking about health security, food security for everybody. That, I mean, we've got too many factors happening at the same time. You know, all the climate stuff is doing its thing. We've got fuel prices making production and then distribution of all these goods more and more expensive. And then we have an outfit like Monsanto who's buying up seed sellers to which to sell only their trademarked seed. I see only disaster. Even if Monsanto could live up to half of its claims, which they can't. And so as we're all running around going, ooh, Al-Qaeda, ooh, Maqtada al-Sadr, ooh, ooh, ooh. We've got, you know, kind of smoldering underneath the pile somewhere. We've got this food crisis brewing underneath. And aside from a few places, it's not even being looked at. You know, it's third world problem. No, it's not. I just read it here. It's happening in Queens. It's happening in California. Now, the marketistas will say, oh, that was just a hiccup in the system, you know, but that's the market doing its job. Well, if the market can't supply the demand, then there's something wrong with the market. Or when the market's prices are too expensive to allow the market to buy, there's something wrong with the market. This stuff's beginning, you know, is worrying me more and more as time goes by, because we're talking real fundamental human problem here, which could cause real, real security problems, because people will go where the food is. And there is no more determined person than a hungry person. A hungry person will go to great lengths to get food, especially when they haven't had any in a while. People can become, well, shall we say, irrational. You've had low blood sugar moments, right? Imagine it being a fair bit worse than that, and imagine, you know, you haven't eaten for days. You just might think about nicking some bread and a few bits from that local shop. But, I mean, we really, really have to start looking at, you know, we should have been looking at these problems, you know, a long time ago, as usual. We're so good at having, you know, our blinders on and our heads down going, you know, the American dream, the American dream, the American dream. And we don't actually realize that we're walking straight into a vat of freaking quicksand. That, you know, while we're looking over our shoulder throwing money at this mess that we've created, we're not looking at the things that are going to come up and bite us on the ass. And this isn't just the United States. This is a global problem. We've created this global market, this globalized economic system. And I don't think that the markets are going to be able to. There isn't going to be the invisible hand that we want to have come down and just fix it all, because it just doesn't work that way. And you know, as if it wasn't bad enough. And you know, I was saying how surreal everything that goes on in the United States is. From my point of view here. And, you know, I didn't even watch the clip. I don't need to. But it only adds to it when you see on a large blog that Bush makes a cameo appearance on Deal or No Deal and making jokes about his own approval ratings on a cheesy game show. Now, just the whole thing's kind of lunacy in so many ways. I mean, Bush going and appearing on a game show where people are playing for their lives, especially today where people are struggling and they look for opportunities like a game show to get them out of it. And you end up having George Bush, the monkey boy, playing guest ringleader. Isn't this just truly uniquely American? Your president will show up on a game show. Won't take questions from reporters, but I will appear on a really crappy, cheesy, badly concepted game show. And make jokes about, come to think it, I'm thrilled to be anywhere that has high ratings these days. You're an embarrassment. You're an embarrassment. And it makes me go back to Idiocracy again, Bob. It's just, it never, that movie has become so unbelievably poignant. You know, the House of Representing. And this is when I look at the United States from here, it appears, you know, which is the parody and which one's the reality. It's absolutely amazing. And you know, and I still hear all this same crap about Iran, and yet it just still seems the nation goes, duh, okay. Yep. What kind of beer are we having tomorrow? And Bob asked the question, how much difference is there between Deal or No Deal and Ow My Balls? Not much. Not much. I know this seems to be a bit of a strange thing to grab onto, but I see this stuff, and my brain goes straight to Idiocracy. And I think how much this shallow, you know, popularity contest, just drivel of a pageant that we've had going on since 2006. I mean, I'm so over it. I'm over it, and I'm not even in the middle of it. I'm so sick of it. But it's like 2 years. Everyone's had enough of campaigning. It's time to get some bloody work done and stop this nonsense. It's just like, you know, the last however many years of blogging, radio shows, you know, threads and discussions and, you know, all the things that we've done. And even though it seems like the choir has gotten bigger on those that get what's wrong, it doesn't feel like it's making any difference with the general public. And I thought that the people kind of coming over to the choir used to be general public. Maybe they're not. Where did they come from then? But, you know, this has just been such a horrible media exercise. This whole election primary campaign debate / pageant just train that we've been on. It's been so unbelievably awful when it could have been so good. When you go back when we had, you know, when before we got down to our final two, when we had some interesting candidates bringing in ideas. But see, now it's all been fine-tuned down into that two-horse plus one-horse race. I don't know. I'm getting so unbelievably frustrated with the whole system. And I just wonder if Americans understand what a joke it's become. It just doesn't kind of appear like it has become. When I see Hillary Clinton downing shots to, you know, when it's all that calculated. And I mean, I know it's always been calculated. I'm not under any, you know, bizarre illusions of anything. But it's become so kind of A, reaction, B, creates C, and a reaction to D. And it's just this constant kind of, we never actually get anywhere except go kind of circular in this mess of nonsense. And I just hope that we're going to have the ability to heal once the convention's over and we have our decision. And I think one of the first things that the Democrats have to do before the next time is get rid of this superdelegate thing. I think it's thrown a huge red flag up to Democrats to say, here's something in your part of the system that could be, well, fixed up a bit. And then we have to look at the way that we run this whole thing. Because, I mean, the amount of money that has been thrown down the gurgler just for, you know, media contracts and all this other stuff, publicly funded, let's just get down to it, publicly funded elections where, you know, this money can be used for better things. You know, if we had publicly funded elections, we wouldn't be having to waste so much time talking about who donated to whom. But, you know, we got to get through this one first. Just like everybody, just chill out, let the remaining states have their vote, and then let's get to the damn convention. let's get this set aside and then get our act together and really go hammering on John McCain, which is where we should be going. And I'm just hoping that all this kerfuffle over the ABC thing has maybe awakened a certain amount of the population, but I don't know. We'll see. I've hoped this many times before, and I've usually been disappointed. Just seems to go on and on, no matter how much you hold the mirror up, and they go, yep, that's me. And you're going to continue going on and doing the same damn thing. Yeah, move the mirror, and you're going to continue to walk straight into the wall. We got real problems to get to. And so all this bullshit about nothing is only helping the Republicans. I do believe. And we need to get away from that and actually get down to what the differences are between a Democrat in the White House and a Republican in the White House. And maybe instead of using Osama